Hi, welcome to another episode of Game Changer Podcast. David Villa here with Diana Villa, and we're going to talk about running the race of life. Can I just say this? You're in the race. You're in a race, whether you're running, walking, crawling, standing still, laying down, you're in a race called life. And Philippians 3:14 is going to be the guiding verse. Diana, you can look that verse up. Philippians 3:14, we'll read it here in just a second. But I want to reflect and talk about the idea of finishing the race, right? Let's look at a finish line and its significance in our lives. So we're talking about running the race of life, Philippians 3:14. You have that ready? Read that verse.
I'm going to start out by saying you're getting lazy on your notes. Ooh. You used to put these actually in your notes.
No, I'm just making you work a little bit. So see if you know your Bible.
So I don't appreciate
Well, you know you're on your digital Bible. You don't have to know the Bible. You can just like pull it, Google it, or just pull it up. So
but I gave you the verse. I'm going to need you to get with the program and get him back on these notes.
So Philippians 3:14. What does it say?
That's right, in the English Standard Version.
I think it's a wife submit to your husband. Is that verse? No?
I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus.
Hmm. Say it again.
I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus.
So it's an upward call of God in Christ Jesus, but we press on, right? We move forward. So we're going to set the stage here, and we're going to discuss the concept of the finish line and its relevance to the new year and, you know, to what we're trying to accomplish in 2024. And I want to encourage you, first of all, as those who listen to this podcast, contemplate your own finish line, right? And the uncertainty surrounding it. So you have a finish line, a goal, something to meet. But then also, I want to visit the uncertainty that surrounds every one of our finish lines. And I want to highlight in this episode the importance of preparing for this inevitable conclusion to our race here on earth, right? When it's all said and done. And that's what the big race is. You have things that you want to accomplish this year, but how many know that, you know, there's a race that we run? And, you know, I said this before about Paul, when Paul says, I finished the race, I've run my course. You know, I used to view it as if he were making a statement, but I really believe that Paul viewed it as he was just running the race. And all of a sudden he realized it was over. I finished it. And almost like in awe of the fact that, man, I finished this race. I've run this race. His grace really was sufficient because I made it to the end. So we're going to highlight the importance of, you know, looking at this conclusion, this inevitable conclusion to our race on earth. So let's talk about embracing the race first, right? And I want us to consider our approach to the race of life. How do we look at this race of life? Do you think, you know, as we get older, I know that sometimes we talk about this type of stuff and our perceptions change, or our perspectives, I guess, change because we look at this thing and, you know, we have to consider our approach to the race of life. And I think my view, you know, when I was in my early 20s, looked a little different than it does in my early 50s. What about you? Do you ever stop and consider the fact that, you know, your life is more than half over, and then, you know, this race, you're on the back half of this race, regardless of how many more.
I've been probably in the beginning of my race, little details trip me up. Mm-hmm. Where I think as I've gotten older, I recognize that, yes, the little details are important. So don't say, oh, the details are important, but I'm not going to let the little details consume me so much that I don't keep moving forward, right? Or I don't start. And I think that's one of the things that would stop me now. I was like, sometimes when I look back, it's like, those little things were insignificant in the bigger picture and the grand scheme of things. It's not going to be because, you know, I had my daughters all had matching dresses and perfect bows. That doesn't matter really ultimately in the grand scheme, that they were all color coordinated when they got to church. Looking back, it was just important that they got to church. Mm-hmm. It was just important that they made it to school every day. And so sometimes I would allow the little details of perfection to override just being present.
That's good. What about this? You know, when we look at the starting line of the new year, right? We have this brand new year, 2024, and we get the starting line of the new year, but in relation to the eventual overall finish line. So when you start your new year's out, do you look at, you know, every year differently because there's the grand scheme of how I need to finish this whole overall life race? You know, I can think back to things that you felt like you needed to get done early on, and those were so big. And it seemed like, you know, that you just took it in such a small dose or a small perspective, when reality, sometimes now I look at every year and again, it's like I've got the big picture in mind. I have the ultimate finish in mind. You know, legacy matters more today. And there's things that never really mattered, or I didn't realize how much they mattered then, that mattered more now. So, you know, let's look at contrasting the starting line of 2024. How did you approach the new year? What did you, you know, how did you view your goals when you measure it up against the overall eventual finish line? I mean, have you thought about that? I mean, is that, that's big, right?
I think that was a lot. Can you repeat the question?
Man, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, looking at 2024 and how you start a year, when you're not just trying to, you know, maybe set a goal for this year, but, you know, when you
measure the overall. I think for me, it's not necessarily, I mean, I do have goals or things that I want to accomplish this year, but I think for me personally, it's about, I want to be the best version of me, whatever that is. And I want to do everything in excellence. I want to be a wife of excellence. I want to be a mother of excellence. I want to be, for those of you that have been here with us all along, our granddaughter calls me Lala. I want to be the Lala of excellence. I want to be a boss of excellence. I want to be a friend of excellence. I want to be a peer of excellence. I want to be a servant of excellence. So everything that I want to do. So I think I've tried to approach this year not necessarily with unrealistic expectations, but if I do it as unto the Lord with the spirit, the heart, and the motive of excellence, I think that I can't go wrong.
Yeah, that's good. You know, I know I have a tendency to overlook the existence of a finish line. And, you know, that there's a huge impact when you have that oversight. You know, when you go into a goal and you allow that goal to be, you know, maybe for the year or for a few months or for the first quarter, and you don't measure it up against the overall finish line. I know I have a tendency to do that, but there's a huge impact because a lot of times, you know, when I found myself circling around the same mountain, I think it was because I didn't have the big picture in mind. You know, I had a small scope view and I refused to see it within the scope of the bigness and the awesomeness of God and what he had for my life. And that's a huge impact when we overlook that.
You know, I thought of sometimes that we can be running our race well and doing it and just moving. Who hasn't finished a month and went, whoa, that month is gone. Mm-hmm. Wow, that week was gone. I think sometimes when we are focused on the journey, focused on the goal, focused on, you know, the end result, whether it's a short-term or a long-term goal, and we reach it, sometimes we can be enjoying it so well that we don't even realize we're approaching the finish line until we pass. I was like, whoa, that went fast. You know, I can think of that as far as parenting.
Right.
You know, in the grand scheme of things, once, you know, our kids left home, I can kind of like living life. I was kind of like, oh, will they ever, you know, walk? Will they ever get to school, preschool? Will they ever get to elementary, middle? And it was always the next thing. And then when they were, you know, walking down the aisle and graduating high school, it's like, oh my gosh, where did time go? So I think it's really important that there's certain things that you need to make sure you're enjoying the race, that you actually are taking the time to enjoy the moments. A lot of times when I think of the race, think of the old story of the rabbit and the turtle running their race.
Yeah.
And sometimes the rabbit would go so fast. And then he did so much at one time that he finally thought he could be leisurely and just kind of kick back and enjoy the moment. And then here comes this turtle, slow, steady, won the race. And it's not that the turtle, you know, he was going at a consistent pace and I'm sure he enjoyed moments, but instead of running full throttle and then trying to enjoy right at the end, he probably took those moments. I can kind of picture along the way, he took those moments to enjoy the little moments to the final.
Yeah. So we have to embrace the race. And now let's look at navigating the journey. And so let's look at the question, what are we going to do between now and our finish line, right? What are you going to do between now and your finish line? What do you feel like God's called you to do? What kind of impact can you make on the world? What kind of impact can you make on those around you? And, you know, let's reflect on how some individuals in the Bible intended to run their race. And I'm reminded of the story of Solomon, who started his race out very strong. He was the son of David, and, you know, he was tasked with running the kingdom after his father, who was the most famous king up until that point, probably after that. And so he asked God for wisdom. He started his journey right, saying, hey, I need your wisdom. I need your direction. I need your help with this big task of running this kingdom? How can I do it without your help? And, you know, God gave him basically, you know, hey, a wish, you know, ask for anything and you can have it. And he asked for wisdom. And then of course we know the answer that God gave him was not only wisdom, but riches, fame, and long life. And so his journey was starting strong. He intended on running his race well, then through distraction and through, you know, letting that get to his head. You know, he spent a long time, 13 years on building himself a palace instead of pouring those resources back into the kingdom of God. And also, you know, he allowed himself to have 1,000 wives, you know, but I was looking at something the other day, he only had 3 children that it noted, but with 1,000 wives. So that means that all of those women were, you know, not necessary for reproduction and for passing on legacy, but they were there for his pleasure. And there were a lot of things that they brought in. They were all these different idols and gods that they worshiped. And although it doesn't really say that Solomon worshiped them, but through him being married to them and creating places for them to worship in their way, he was linked into that. So there was distraction that came in, and there were several things that got him off course. And ultimately, the wisest man, the guy who, you know, God granted this great start to, you know, he ended the race by saying, you know, it doesn't really matter what you have. It doesn't really matter, you know, all the money, all the wealth, all the gold. You know, it's all for naught. And he had a miserable, you know, ending to his life. And so, you know, that's one reflection there. And I'm reminded of, you know, of David. You know, David started out, you know, anointed by Samuel and, you know, and went through a process of, like, you know, his heart was after God and, you know, pursued the things of God. And then because he was at a position and in the wrong place at the wrong time, you know, he noticed Bathsheba and then committed adultery and then committed murder to cover it up. So, you know, these are men who, you know, who had great intentions, but their journeys got off track. And so I think that, you know, let's look at it and reflect how do we intend to run our race?
Well, I think that's probably about those moments, enjoying the moments along the way, because not only do you enjoy them, but it gives you time to, like, gather your thoughts and reflect back. Am I in the right place? Am I going in the right direction? You know, because, you know, I've heard a story on a boat that you can get just a little off course, but it could take you way, I get a little bit off of the path, but take you way out of the way. So I think that those, enjoying those moments and taking the time to enjoy them and evaluate, I think that really does help you. And I'm a really big believer, it's not always how we start, it's how we finish. So I think that it's not always, we may get a rough start, but I think if we're taking those times to evaluate and refocus and, like, go through that and, like, meditate. I very rarely come out of a meeting that on my way home from work, often that I go back through the conversations of the day and go, okay, how did I handle that situation? What did I do well? What do I need to improve on? And what, you know, do I want to learn from it? That's good conversations and bad conversations. I'm someone that does that a lot, probably to the point that if I'm not careful, it will paralyze me from moving beyond it. But I think it's important to, you know, enjoy those moments, but those moments are not just to celebrate, but they're also to reflect back and realign, refocus.
Amen. And I want to talk too, just for a second, about emphasizing the need to focus on the eternal prize and life beyond the finish line. So, you know, we don't talk about heaven a lot. We don't talk about, you know, the life after death. And there'll be a time when we stand before God, and something that I was discussing with somebody the other day and heard someone say, it just kind of reminded me of, you know, and somebody was saying, you know, basically good or God, and you could even give, you know, a lot of money or do something really good, but it doesn't mean that God's in it. And, you know, that when we stand before him, he's going to take everything that we did and he's going to measure it. And there's going to be a lot of things that we did with the wrong motives, a lot of things that we did for the wrong reasons that are going to just burn up. And, you know, there's some good things that we can do that God might not be in. And so I think it's important to focus on the eternal prize, right? The life beyond the finish line, because, you know, you're going to stand before God. And I believe that his grace is sufficient. You know, if you're saved, you're going to heaven, but you're going to stand before him and you're going to give account for everything you did. And I think it's important, right, that we now focus on the fact that there will be an eternal prize and a life beyond the finish line that we're going for and shooting for.
Even the scripture reference that you started with, and that's Philippians 3:14. In the NIV, it says, I press toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. The thing that stands out to me when I read that is, like, I press on.
Yeah.
God's not going to pull you. You have to make a decision to press on yourself. There is an action on you. Like, you have to do it. I press on. You have to be determined to press on.
I want to allow you guys, let a Philippians 3:14, you know, look at it in different versions. Pull it up like Diana did. Look at it in the New Living Translation. Look at it in the American Standard. Look at it in the King James, the NIV, the Message, and then just let it get into your spirit. I want you to be encouraged and use this scripture and this passage as a point or a source of inspiration and guidance, right? We press towards the mark of the prize, the heavenly prize in Christ Jesus. And so, you know, I want to highlight the pursuit of the prize and the call to a life beyond this earthly race. You know, if we're so focused on this earthly race, and I see why, right? We're here, and this is our mandate. And it's important because, you know, if it were just about life eternal, then the moment that you became a Christian, then God would just take you. But he has a work for you here. But here's the thing about the work of God. The work of God, this is where I kind of constantly will bring it back and measure it to what I'm doing, or God uses this to kind of show me when I seek him, you know, shows me the things that I do that are about David versus the things that I do that are about his kingdom. And, you know, the important part about this is if God's called you to do something, which he has, he's purposed you and he's called you, he's gifted you, he's anointed you, he's directed you, right? There's a purpose for you. Everyone listening, there's a purpose for you. However, that purpose, if it's a godly purpose, is always attached to touching the lives of people, because that's ultimately what this is going to be about, right? At the end, there's no one that's going to be on their deathbed saying, I wish I could get another deal, or I wish I could make another dollar, or I wish I can, you know, buy another house, or I can get, you know, they're not going to be doing that. They're going to, it's measured with what we did to impact the kingdom of God. So let Philippians 3:14, you know, serve as a source of inspiration and guidance. And, you know, we need to stay focused. We need to run with determination, right? Living for eternal purposes.
I'm going to read it in the Message version because I think the way it ends kind of goes along with that. But in the Message version, they lump Philippians 3:12 through 14 together, and the title that is focused on the goal. I'm not saying that I have this all together, that I have it made, but I am well on my way, reaching out for Christ. There's your action, reaching out for Christ, who has so wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this, but I've got my eye on the goal, where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running. I'm not turning back. Mm. And that ending, I'm not turning back.
Amen.
You have to be determined. I am not turning back. I have a prize. I have a goal, and I'm going all the way.
Amen. So as we wrap this up today, it's going to be a short one, but, you know, stay focused, you know, run with perseverance and pursue the eternal prize. So stay focused. So keep your eyes on Jesus, Hebrews 12:2, you know, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, the one who started it, who authored it, but the one who will also finish it. He doesn't leave anything unfinished. And we need to keep our eyes on him, stay focused on him, run with perseverance, run the race, not turning back, moving forward, constantly pressing into him, and then pursue the eternal prize. The eternal prize is not just you making it to heaven, but how many people you can take with you, how many people you can impact along the way for him that will stand there one day and say, hey, you know, I'm here because this person was obedient, you know, to the work of the Lord. And I want to encourage you, those listening, to embrace the race of life with dedication and purpose. And there's value in the prize. There's value in the prize. Eternal life in Christ Jesus, that's the ultimate goal, and it should be our ultimate motivation. Eternal life with Jesus, right? And to bring as many people as we can with us. You know, get as many people to discover their God-given purpose as we can. And that's really what it comes down to. So, I mean, in closing, I just want to say, keep running hard. That's really what it is, right? Just keep running hard. You can't, I think that's what Paul was doing. Again, going back to that scripture, I should have looked that scripture up as well, but the one where he says, I finished my race, I've run the course. Like, I believe he was running hard, and then all of a sudden, he just realized, I finished. Well, okay, I'm finished. And then when he was finished, it was done. God took him. And we have to keep running hard. Amen? Why don't you pray for us, Diana, as just to pray for those listening that will run the race with purpose and you know, and keep our eyes on the prize.
Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather in your name, where your word says where two or more are gathered, that there you would be in the middle. And so, Father, I just pray for anyone listening right now that you would just be in the middle of their race, Father God, that they would cause you, they would, Lord, ask you to be at the forefront of their race, Father God, that their eyes would be focused upon you, Father God, and that you would, they would run the race that you've laid out before them. Father God, let them do it with a right heart, a right motive. Father God, let them not look to the left or the right, but God, to keep their eyes directly on you, Father God, knowing that you are with them and that you're going to see them through. Father God, let our hearts be ones that are after you. And Father, let us end our race, God's hearing the words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant."
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I want to emphasize this, the relevance of God's word in guiding our journey. Get in his word. His word's alive. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It's the answer. It's the sword of the spirit. It's our offensive weapon. It's going to keep us close to him and keep us on course. And can I just say this? That's God's word fresh for you today. Amen.
It's not always how you start. It is how you finish.
It's always how you, that's good. Not always how you start. The world's enamored by people who start things, but they're transformed by people who finish.
That's right.
And finishers are what God's looking for. Hey, I hope you guys enjoyed being with us today. I know it was short, but hopefully it was impactful. If you are on YouTube, make sure you subscribe. Click the little bell for notifications. Make sure you comment. We want to hear your comments. Give us some feedback. If this touched you, let us know. Share it with someone. Also, subscribe to us on Apple Podcast and Spotify. And if you're on social media, tag us. We want to see what God's doing in your life. We want to see the testimonies. And also, if you want to stay connected with everything that we're doing, you can download our app. It's the Game Changer app by IPD Agency. You can find it anywhere apps are. And we have close to, I think, over 14,000 people that have downloaded it. So there's a strong community there in the marketplace. And you can find a lot of resources to help you with your walk. And we love you guys. And we'll see you next time on the Game Changer podcast.